الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. وفي رواية الترمذي: أربع من سنن الأنبياء: الحياء والتعتر والسواك والنكاح، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, on the one hand, as we heard Maulana announce, this is the first majlis of our weekly Shab Guzari, weekly gathering that takes place, which in Arab countries we find that they don't use this term Shab Guzari, they use the term Laylatul Fikr, Night of Fikr. It's a separate topic, but generally, if you look at this Arabic word fikr, what does it mean? It has connotations of being concerned and worried. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hind bin Abi Hala, was the son of Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anhu from Abu Hala, previous husband, before she married Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was asked to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the description that he gave: Da'im al-fikra, mutawasil al-ahzan. He described the demeanor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the following manner. He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always in fikr, always worried, always filled with huzn, grief, concern. This gathering that's taking place in our marakis throughout the entire world has been given the same title, Laylatul Fikr, a gathering of fikr. When we talk of fikr, this is what each one of us has to take one thermometer and place this gauge on our hearts. How many of us are genuinely full of fikr? Are we worried? Are we concerned? Is there some huzn and grief in us? The answer to that, ironically, will be 99% will say yes. To some extent, we have fikr, we're very, very worried. Doctors are worried about the next patient that's coming, next appointment they got. Businessmen are worried about the next deal that they've got to, or the next container that is coming. And whichever line of field of pursuit of dunya, 99.9% of us, illa mashallah, if the person is in property, is worried about the next construction and next project. Everyone is worried. The sad reality is, does our worry connect with the worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also worried. This description was given of him: Da'im al-fikra, mutawasil al-ahzan, always in fikr and worry. What was his worry and what is my and your worry? We should be extremely worried about that. This very big difference between our worry and the worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is a court coming tomorrow. And in that court, whether we will be riding an ass or a horse, سوف ترى إذا انكشفت الغبار أَفَرَسٌ تَحْتَ رِجْلِكَ أَمِ الْحِمَارِ. Like the poet puts it very nicely, he says, soon you will see when the dust settles on that day, who was riding the horse and who was riding the ass. Who was riding a donkey and who was riding the horse. There, unfortunately, it won't be the status symbols of the Rolex watch and the Hugo Boss suit and the fancy car and the big investment portfolio. There, by the qasam of my Allah, will be only one criteria. How close did you come in your mannerism, in your fikr, in your concern, in your worry, in your ambitions, in your goals, to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this weekly gathering that is taking place, that is the objective. How we can model our lives gradually, slowly, to come back to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established in Madinah Munawwara in the time of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught us a complete way of life. And this gathering where nikah is going to be taking place is one aspect of that. Time constraints we have, unfortunately, and I have mentioned this many times previously. Unfortunately, my name also has become synonymous with exceeding time and speaking too long. My good friend, I mentioned this many times, passed away now, Allah fill his qabr with noor. He used to say that the three rules of public speaking are stand up to be seen, speak up to be heard, and shut up to be appreciated. In other words, know when to stop. Unfortunately, I'm admitting from the start that that is one capability that I don't have. And especially when it comes to this topic of nikah, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْ فَقَدِ اسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الدِّينِ. He said, this is half your religion. Nikah and that which is connected to it, nisfu deen. He said it is half of religion, half of Sharia. Now what is Sharia? More than 1 million ahadith. What is Sharia? Sharia is Quran, more than 6,000 verses. And what is Quran? Quran is Bahrullah Sahilalo. It's a limitless ocean. Quran is Kalamullah. And like Allah is eternal, and like there are no limitations to Allah, there is no limitation to the qualities, the sifat, the attributes, the kalam of Allah, the Quran, and the other sifat and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La mahdood, limitless. So, all we can do is attempt to just present one or two droplets. It was the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, part of the khususiyat, the karamat, the mu'jizat, the miracles, which Allah Ta'ala blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umm Ma'bad Khuzai radiallahu anha, Bedouin in a desert, short interaction. When she described his speech, she said, Hulwul mantiq, faslun, la nazar, wala hazar, kahanna mantiqahu, kharazatu nazmin yatahaddarna. She said there was a beautiful, sweet logic to his expressions. He wouldn't exceed, speak too long. Nor would he be so brief. The brevity at the cost of a person understanding what he is saying, that was not there. He was concise. She said his speech was like you break a necklace, and how the pearls one after the other drop out in clarity, in having a lyrical message behind it, in being concise, in being comprehensive. This is how she described the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a manifestation of Allah, one of the gifts that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given. He said, "U'atitu khamsan lam yu'tahunna al-anbiya qabli." I was given five things that the previous anbiya also were not given, alayhi wasallam. One of them, "U'titu jawami al-kalim." I was given jawami al-kalim. Allah, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would utter just a few words. Allahu Akbar, volumes, literally volumes have been written to explain the meaning of the messages or the expressions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want a simple example, like I said, we have time constraints. Most of the major books of ahadith begin with the first hadith that they begin with, the hadith of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Ask the scholars amongst us, ask the ulama amongst us, how many volumes have been written just explaining this one sentence, innamal a'malu bin niyat, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Wallah, Volumes have been written. And likewise, Akrimunna. Likewise, Zimad, one person, he was warned by the Kufar of Makkah that don't go near Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a lengthy incident, I'm cutting it short. Finally, he makes his mind up, I'm an intelligent man. How difficult, or what? How great a threat can it be for me to approach this person? So he approaches Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَا تَقُولُونَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ What do you have to say? إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ أَحْمَدُهُ وَأَسْتَعِينُهُ أُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَأَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ
I'm not going to go into details because of time constraints. Literal translation, unfortunately, many of us, this lament, Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Devla Sahib, Allah give him a long life. He was here in our country last week, 97 years of age, still striving in the path of Allah. Most of his bayans, Allah has given me the blessing of it translating. Repeatedly this message has been given by ilm and zikr, ilm and zikr, ilm and zikr. The third mazloom point of our work of Dawat and Tabligh. You do not have this attitude that your brain cells are dead and that you have passed the sell-by date. Today, unfortunately, if I have to tell you by talib ilm, students of deen, first thing comes in our minds, what? Students of madrasa, maktab, or school, they are students. What does sahaba understand? Students of deen in time of sahaba was not madrasa students. Students of deen in time of sahaba was every sahabi. Every home was a madrasa. Masjid was madrasa. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they hung on to one word and they would learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This ilm and zikr, learn. Take the trouble, this daily, if we don't want to go to some madrasa, we don't want to sit with the kitab, this is our humble appeal, at least in your masjid, when the halqa of ta'lim is taking place, sit there. At least in your home, every day, sit with your family, take out quality time, 10 or 15 minutes, read the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will Allah give you? I'm just going to mention one hadith, like that multitude of hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من تطهر في بيته من غدا إلى المسجد من غدا إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا أن يتعلم خيرا أو يعلمه He said a man left his house normally to go to the masjid is for salah over and above that why did he come to the masjid to sit in the halqa of ta'lim we're going to translate it in today's understanding learn and teach deen literal translation لا يريد إلا أن يتعلم خيرا أو يعلمه what will Allah give him Every day that he left his house to come to the masjid, to sit in the halqa of ta'lim, to learn and teach deen, to give time to the masjid, فَأَجْرُهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ الْحَاجِ الْمُحْرِمْ تَامًا حَجَّتُهُ Rasulullah s.a.w. said, Allah will reward him like that person who tied his ihram and made a maqbool mabroor hajj. No sawuk accreditation, no nusuk app, no hundreds and thousands of rands and looking for five-star package, and not once a year or once in a lifetime. Every day, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sadiqul Masduq said, Allah will reward you, maqbool, mabroor, hajj, if you will come to the masjid to learn and teach deen. Next time we see that halqa of ta'lim and just walk past them, at least bring this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of us. And realize the loss that we are incurring by having this lackadaisical attitude towards acquiring the knowledge of deen. Nevertheless, to complete this incident, we've heard it in every khutbah, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ أَحْمَدُهُ وَأَسْتَعِينُهُ أُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَأَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا حَادِيَ لَهُ جَوَامِعُ الْكَلِمُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. This was an Arab, he understood the beauty, he understood the eloquence, he understood the wisdom in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is dumbfounded. I repeat what you said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated. I repeated the third time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated. Immediately he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. There and then he brings iman. He said, Faqad balagna qamus al-bahar. In layman's terms, what's the translation of this? He said, this one sentence that you have uttered, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has contained in it, has swallowed in it, the ocean of the knowledge of humanity. This was Jawami'ul Kalim Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a Nabi we were given. But don't talk Ashiq-e Rasool Muhammad. Acquire the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nikah, what did he teach us? What was his example? Today, unfortunately, we are motivated and dictated by society and by the norms and expectations of individuals. What was his nikah? What did he teach us in nikah? What are the goals and priorities? Unfortunately, many of us, we don't even take the trouble of learning. If you look at this term nikah, I'm just going to mention a few things. Dr. Saab gave me till 10 to, I'm taking till 5 to. Maybe today the tea session can be a little bit shorter. Nikah will take place after that. Just a few, like I said, we can only scratch the surface even with my limited knowledge. If you look at this Arabic word nikah, what does it mean? Just earlier today, I asked somebody, but what does nikah mean? He said marriage. Marriage is the understanding. The Arabic word nakaha yankihu. Arabic language is not like English. People feel, I read whatever on Thesaurus, so I know the Oxford dictionary, so I, mashallah, I speak the Queen's English. English is a very limited language. Arabic is a rich language. This is Lisanul Quran, Lisanul Jannah. This is the language of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the language of Jannah. One alim, Fathu Samad fi Asma'il Asad, his name is Musa Khan. To give us an idea how vast the Arabic language is, he wrote one kitab wherein he enumerated 500 words in the Arabic language just for lion. For sword, there are 4,000 different words in the Arabic language. This is such a rich language. Nakaha yankihu, what does it actually mean? If you break it down grammatically, it means when two separate entities merge and they come together in such a manner that they become one. Example that is given in the books of grammar is like rainwater when it falls in the sand. It gets mixed up with the sand. You don't say now this is water, this is sand, everything becomes sand. When a person goes to sleep, sleep is a separate entity, eyes are a separate entity. But when the eye, sleep merges with the eyes till they become one, that in the Arabic language is what we call nakaha yankihu. Two separate human beings. Two separate entities merging together in such a manner, in such a bond, that they become one. And my Allah has said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. This is one of my signs. The signs of my qudrat. The signs of my greatness, of my majesty, that I bring about this type of bond. Interestingly, what's the opposite? Talaq. If you look at the word talaq in Arabic, it comes from the word talqa. Talqa. What is talqa? Literally, when a woman goes into labor, she experiences waves of pain. That waves of pain that she experiences in Arabic is what is called talqa. What is actually happening? In Arabic language, the word talqa means when a knot is opened up. So this bond and link of the developing child in the fetus of the mother and the mother is being severed, this knot is being opened. So that pain that she experiences at the time of childbirth in Arabic is called talqa. Talaq means for a knot to open, for that which was one now to become separated. Ubaydullah bin Umayr rahimahullah, someone came to him, he was from amongst the Tabi'een. This person said that from Khurasan, I carried on my back my mother, elderly mother, and I made walking Hajj from Khurasan to Makkah. I carried her throughout the 5 days of Hajj, and then I took her back to Khurasan. He said, have I fulfilled the haqq and right of my mother? What was the answer? He said, La talqatan wahida. In giving birth to you, the screams of agony, talqa, the pangs of pain as that bond was being separated between mother and child, that talqa, you have not even fulfilled the haqq of one pang of pain that your mother experienced. Like that, I'm digressing. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, somebody came to him also and said to him, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I carried my mother on my back and I took her for Hajj. Have I fulfilled the haqq? Here he used a different expression. We find that in Arabic, breath is nafas, a breath.
then when you get a deep sigh, that's called zafra. At the time of giving birth to you, that deep sigh that your mother let out, several obviously, just one of it, la zafratun wahida. You haven't even fulfilled the haq of one zafra. Coming back to what we were discussing, Islam has taught us what is the right of a mother, what is the right of a wife, this proportion that has to come in. Learning, we learn these jewels of how to make a home. Understand, 14 centuries ago, now and till Qiyamah, if you have to look at a synopsis of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the foundation of nikah? What brings about this bond? What makes two separate entities into one? Where the Quran describes it beautifully, where Allah says, when this marital union is described in the Quran, what is the word my Allah uses? Hunna libasul lakum, wa antum libasul lahun. Your wives are your clothing and you are clothing to them. Allah uses the word libas. Wallah, my respected brothers, Mufassirin have mentioned several, up to 8-9 wujuhat, different beautiful explanations as to this one choice of word libas. One simple explanation in the context of what we are talking about. Any person, no matter how bare sharam he is, can't bear to be naked. The moment you are naked, you have this uncomfortable feeling, you need your clothes. So your wife, this bond, this link has to become such that you each become dependent on each other. How? What is the objective? The verse of the Quran which I recited, where Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. We created wives from amongst you, مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, from amongst you. In other words, don't think you are superior to her. She is from your jinns, she is from you. Min anfusikum. We created wives from your jinns, from your species. Min anfusikum. Azwaja. And what is the objective? Litaskunu ilayha. This relationship is supposed to bring about sukoon, tranquility, peace, comfort. And most importantly, what does sukoon? Sukoon has connotations. Sukoon, the tranquility of the heart. Today, unfortunately, instead of the norm, this has become the exception. In our homes, that peace and that tranquility is not there. Illa mashallah. What's lacking? What's lacking? Like I digressed earlier, 14 centuries ago, now till Qiyamah. Understand, if you look at the synopsis of Shariat, this bond, this nikah, what makes or breaks it? Two things. One is husnul akhlaq, akhlaq, character. And the second is bardash, tolerance. Each of these two things, like I said, we have time constraints. We can't go into too much detail. But look at the link my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created between this. Husnul akhlaq and nikah. What did he say? He said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. Tabligh, Dawah, Tahajjud, sitting in the khanqah of a sheikh, striving for years, all that mujahada. What is the goal? Kamal Iman, to reach the height and the pinnacle of Iman. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us how the height and pinnacle of Iman can be judged. He said, Akmalul Mu'minin, the greatest kamil mu'min and believer, the height of Iman, Ahsanuhum Khuluqa, is the one with the best, with the most beautiful akhlaq and character. And in the same hadith, the crunch test, you can fool the whole world, pull wool over your wise eyes is very difficult. Crunch test, he said, khiyarukum linisaihim, the best, the highest, the pinnacle of Iman is the best husband of my ummah. The one who will treat his wife the best, who will treat his family the best, this is Kamale Iman. And to teach you where to get your guideline from, Rasulullah said, Ana khayrukum li ahli. Take and learn from my example. Like I said, time constraints, 5 more minutes we have. When we look at husn-e-akhlaq, when we look at beautification of akhlaq,
Ulama say, the most important, the nature, the essence of husni akhlaq is what? Husni kalam. Husni akhlaq, husni kalam ke baghair namumkin hai. Beautification of akhlaq until you don't learn to control this tongue. If you look at nikah, what is nikah? Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, it's an utterance of the tongue. What is talaq? Allah protect us. Talaq also, utterance of the tongue. That which was haram to ghair mahrams become halal through an utterance of the tongue. And that which was halal, a bond that is formed, is broken through the utterance of the tongue. The entire foundation of akhlaq and character. One of our Kabirin gives an example. He said, I learned from the road language. I was in Pakistan behind one bus. I saw written there. What was written there? Dil baraye faroq. Dil baraye faroq. Heart for sale. Literal translation, heart for sale. Underneath was written, qeemat. What is the price? How do you purchase a heart? How do you purchase a heart? What is the price? Zaban ke meethi bol. Zaban ke meethi bol. Allah's qasam, time is limited, my respected brothers. More than tahajjud every night. Wurid Isha and Fajr with the same wuzu for with the life of Nuh alayhi salam. And fast every day with the life of Nuh alayhi salam. In the light of Quran and Hadith, ulama amongst us, they will tell you, the person who learns to control this and can speak sweetly in his home and sweetly with who he comes into contact with, he will get a greater jannah than the person who does that. Such a sharia, such a deen. One incident I'm going to mention, time constraints we have. This came to my mind because of this concept of the heart. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like that there are multitudes. This is why our elders are crying, by switch that shaitan mobile phone off. It's a necessity. Don't let it rule your lives. It's destroying homes. When you sit in your house, switch it off. Let there be quality time. Sit with your family. Take it upon ourselves. Aziz Jumala Inam al-Hasan sahab rahmatullahi alayhi told us the whole masturat effort is this. That in every home, every day, there must be halqa of ta'aleem. Read Qala Allah, Qala Rasul. Read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want our homes to be made. Home is not made with paramari. All these fancy terms. I know the Mehman terminology. I don't know the Gujarati community. But the other day, I was listening to one or two elderly women folk. Yet there has to be mamero and there has to be this and this. Only Allah knows what all that is. Most of it comes from our Hindu, Pak, Indo-Pak and Portuguese origins. Homes are not made through that. Home is not made through degrees and financial stability. Allah's qasam. Homes are made through akhlaq. Homes are made through the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Homes are made from taking his example. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on a journey. I'm going to mention one incident very briefly. He's on a journey. Contextualize this. This is the leader of the army. This is the journey of jihad. The wives also are within the qafla. Safiya bint Huyay radiallahu anha. One of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. Her camel is slow. It starts jerking. She becomes distressed. Sahaba say, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went towards her. Sahaba say, such was the society they were in. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made their tarbiyah. Their women were looked down upon. I'm not going into that. That is a separate topic. You see, as he approached her, we thought Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to scold her and he was going to be upset with her. He approached her. And what did he say to her? He said, Anti bintul Kareem. You are the daughter of an honorable person. The father was a Jew. She was from a Jewish lineage. She accepted Islam. Became our mother. Anti bintul Kareem. You are the daughter of an honorable person. He consoled her with dignity. He consoled her not with pity but with dignity. Elevated her spirit. And then فَجَعَلَ يَمْسَحُ دُمُوعَهَا بِيَدِهِ. This is Bukhari Muslim Sharif Hadith. My Nabi in front of the Jamaat of Sahaba. Her camel was delaying the entire qafla in a journey where there is hardship, there is a goal, there is an objective. This is the leader of the army. Sahaba say, he began wiping the tears of Safiya with his own hands. He wiped her tears, he consoled her, he smiled at her, and then he addressed the one who was leading the camel. Alayka bil qawarir. Be careful. These are gentle glass ornaments. In other words, the women, be very, very careful how you treat them. Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah, in the tafsir of this expression,
عَلَيْكَ بِالْقَوَارِيرِ. These are delicate ornaments. They are made of glass. Ulama say in a poetic language also, the heart has been compared to glass. Because when you break glass, it's very, very difficult to patch it together again. This utterance of the tongue, utterance of the tongue is sweeter than honey and more bitter than poison. It's softer than silk and sharper than a sword. Allama Qurtubi Rahimullah in the tafsir of this expression of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Dalilun ala wujubi rifq bin nisa. This is the dalil that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it obligatory that when you deal with your women, particularly your wives, you deal with them with softness, with kindness. Ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. Allah says live with them with kindness. Dalilun ala wujubi rifq bin nisa. Wa dalilun that, and it is a proof that to break her heart, to break her heart is a greater crime. Azamu min aaz is a greater crime than the breaking of glass also. Be very, very careful how you address your wives. Practically, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed this to us through his own example. Coming back to what we are saying, homes are made with akhlaq and character. And with bardash, tolerance, learn to forgive. Learn to control our emotions. Come out of this meh, this arrogance, this anger, this looking down upon others. This is not Islam. This is not the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most importantly, husn-e akhlaq, husn-e kalam ke baghair na mumkin hai. The beautification of akhlaq without the beautification or the control of the utterance of the tongue is impossible. I will terminate on this. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the great scholar of Islam, he said, أَشَدُّ الذُّنُوبِ الَّتِي يَسْتَخِفُّهَا النَّاسِ. He said, the greatest sin that today, unfortunately, is not even considered to be a sin, الْكَلَامُ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِي, is unnecessary and harsh speech. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ. Allah is compassionate. يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ. Allah loves compassion. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to practice upon the seerah of Rasulullah. Wallah, our homes will become jannat on this earth. Unfortunately, time constraints and many other things. Allah give time, life and opportunity. Some other time we will discuss that. But this is why we are given this encouragement by establish halqa of ta'lim in our homes. Take out time. Go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Learn practically what was the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This tabligh is not some organization. It's not a numbers game. This weekly shabguzari is not all that. That's our misunderstanding. What it is to teach us Madina Munawara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For that qurbani has to be given, sacrifice has to be given. All of us make niyat inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq.